you to the City Council meeting for the City of Cedar Hills. Today is Tuesday, March the 3rd, 2015. Currently have 7:01 p.m. I'd like to call our meeting to order. Tonight's invocation will be given by Councilmember Reese, followed by our pledge being given or directed to us by our scout, Devon Prettypaint.
Did I paid you? Did you pay?
You guys ready?
Yep.
Heavenly Father, we are very grateful for this opportunity that we have to meet together tonight as a community and to discuss the needs of the city. We're grateful for this beautiful city that we live in. We ask thee to bless us that as we are discussing the things on the agenda tonight, that we will do so with civility and with our minds toward the benefit of our residents. And these things we pray for in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Devon. We appreciate you doing that for us this evening. First item that we need to take care of is the approval of tonight's agenda. So if someone would like to make a motion to accept or amend, I will take that now.
I move that we accept the agenda as is.
I second.
Motion's been seconded. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is unanimous. Thank you. Next item is the public comments, and I did pick up the sign-up rolls. I don't show anyone has signed up for that. Unless someone came in late, I don't see that. So I will close our public comments and move on to the consent agenda. We only have one meeting whose minutes need to be approved. That's the meeting of February the 3rd, 2015, City Council meeting. And so if someone would like to make a motion to approve the minutes, I'll take that now.
I move that we approve the minutes for the February 3rd, 2015 City Council meeting.
Okay.
Second.
Motion has been made and been seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Minutes are approved. Let's move on to city business. So we'll start with my left, Mr. Bunker, and then go to my right.
Mayor and Council, I have just a few items. Let's start with recreation. So the Junior Jazz playoffs have begun and the season ends Saturday. T-ball and tot soccer registration are now open, and there is a teen soccer program that we're starting, and it's co-ed, and that is going to be really exciting. So get your co-ed soccer groups together and come and sign up for that. We have been working with Pleasant Grove Recreation lately to try to put more programs on for teenagers. And they have more facilities, so we will be meeting with them again to discuss another program, Ultimate Frisbee. So hopefully that will interest some teens as well. Right now our golf course is closed due to the Questar gas high-pressure main that's being installed through the course here. And we're hoping to get that project through within the next week to 10 days. But we are concerned about having the course closed when we have good weather, so we will be having a discussion with Questar regarding that. Family Festival had their meeting last week, and someone else might be reporting on that. Hopefully, if someone isn't going to report on that, we have some more information that Greg can pass on. The YCC leaders had a really good discussion the other day regarding the recent events. And that issue is also on our agenda for suicide prevention. But they would like to start hosting quarterly conferences for the parents of Cedar Hills teenagers. And the feedback from the YCC group is that most of the kids' problems is due by pressure put on them from various sources, including their parents. And they would like to form a panel of YCC members at the conference to have an open dialogue. And it wouldn't just surround suicide necessarily, but anyway, Emily Cox has been trying to line up some speakers to help host those meetings, and so that's in the preliminary stages there, and they'll be working on that. There is a Horrocks Engineers is sponsoring the 2015 Blood Battle. It's a blood drive. That will be April 7th. And they have really cool t-shirts if you give blood. So if you want a cool t-shirt, participate there. We will be having spring cleanup on the weekend of April 11th and April 18th. And we will have dumpsters located throughout the city for that. And they will be identified on the city website as well. We will be having Arbor Day coming up on April 24th. And this year, the city has received a number of tickets to the Thanksgiving Point Gardens. So the first 25 people in the city that will take a picture of themselves planting a tree, we will give them two tickets to the Thanksgiving Point Gardens, and they can go and participate there.
I thought you raised that, or that was raised. I read your...
Yeah, we get... So we're going to give out two tickets for the first 25 people. So there's 50 tickets.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, yep. And lastly, the Utah League of Cities and Towns has announced their spring conference. It will be April 8th, 9th, and 10th at the Dixie Center in St. George. And this year's conference is called The Leadership Effect. And that will be for cities and towns throughout the state to come down and receive training through the Utah League of Cities and Towns. So that's all I have.
Okay. Mr. Zappala.
Okay, I have a number of things. With respect to communication responsibilities, we did have an article in the Daily Herald, two articles in the Daily Herald, one regarding vandalism in our parks and one regarding the opening of our grill. Spoke with a reporter from the Daily Herald and gave her details of the lease agreement that she wanted to know about, and also helped her to frame the story in a more positive light. She initially came to me claiming we had hired an ex-con, which was really inaccurate, and so we helped clear up some of those inaccuracies and tell her a little bit more about that story. Regarding technology, I have been using MailChimp for a couple of other mailing lists that I run and getting familiar with it, and so I'm at the point where I'm getting real close to being ready to talk to David and his staff about moving over some of our city communications to MailChimp. And then I also have had significant interest at BYU with this app that we're building, both with my students doing additional work on it, and I now have a political science student who's very interested in interacting with residents as they learn to use this app. So she wants to do a political science study to see, before we use the app and after we start using the app, how that affects residents' perceptions towards the city. She's applied for a small $500 grant that we think she can win to help fund her over the summer to do this work for us. I'm also going to be presenting this sort of work at a panel discussion on the BYU campus on March 26th. This is part of the civic engagement minor that the political science department now has. So they're trying to turn out students who do this sort of thing on a regular basis. So I'm getting involved with that group.
And in public safety as well?
Oh, yes. Thank you. And in public safety, we had a meeting with the Lone Peak Public Safety District. And from our perspective, the main impact there was that we discussed the fire budget for this coming year, and they have a very modest, I think, 1% increase for the coming year.
Okay. Thank you. Mrs. Reese.
Okay, so the Planning Commission met. We had a public hearing for the preliminary plans for Rose Gate, and one resident gave feedback. That was Councilmember Zappala. And the agenda stated that the Planning Commission would discuss the preliminary plans for Rose Gate, but the developer did not have the preliminary plans there. So we will hold another public hearing once the preliminary plans are actually submitted. And then the Planning Commission discussed xeriscaping in the city and directed Chandler to draft a sample ordinance for it. And the discussion on the design guidelines was postponed, and they recommended that the Planning Commission hold a special work session dedicated to that topic so they can move forward with that.
Can you clarify why they postponed that discussion?
They get to about 9 o'clock and then close the meeting. That's generally that's my interpretation. Do you disagree, Chandler?
Gary, is there anything that we can do to get our planning commission to move on that? Or should we just take over, can we take over that responsibility and do it as a city council? Can we start drafting changes that we would like to have made?
Well,
they're not going to do it?
I think you can certainly make recommendations, but we can't tell the planning commission how to run their meetings. But let's see, Mike and Trent, you guys have served on the planning commission. Do you see anything wrong with the council making some recommendations that Daniel's talking about?
I think the city council can make a recommendation, but it would still have to go back to the planning commission, and they would still have to have their process and be able to go through the proper channels.
That's what I thought.
Even if the city council does make a recommendation, we can't sidestep the planning commission.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's fine if we make a recommendation, but we have to go through staff.
It's still up to them.
And to us. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I agree.
Okay. Just very frustrated.
Okay. Duly noted.
The Family Festival Committee met, and they continue to work on plans for all the events, which will take place that first week of June. Greg Gordon worked with Highland on a joint advertising plan where Highland is going to send their Highland Fling magazine to our residents, and we're going to send our magazine to their residents, which will provide more awareness for our events and increase turnout. And then they have some new things that they're adding this year, including a car show and a teen night. Greg, was there more you wanted to add to that? Okay. And then Councilmember Zapala already updated you on the interviews, and we will be working together soon on a communications plan for water conservation education for this summer.
Very good. One other item on public safety, Daniel had mentioned earlier, is we did ratify the interlocal. We had originally started with an idea of giving a four-year notice in order to remove ourselves from the interlocal, or any city removing themselves. And so that was reduced to 2 years. Okay.
Could I add one more thing, actually, Jenny?
Off of what Jenny said? Yeah.
Yeah. Just on the Family Festival, we discussed Grand Marshals. So if you have any recommendations, I know that they would be really excited to look into that. I know I've asked Trent to maybe check with Noelle again. I doubt she'll be able to because she's pregnant, but if you have any recommendations, pass it along to Jenny and she can pass it along.
Very good. What's the criteria?
I thought of one yesterday.
Like, who would make a good Grand Marshal? Are we looking for someone outside the community, within the community?
Well, I think you can make any recommendation you want, Daniel. I know we've had the governor, who is obviously an outside resident, but very important to our city because his family lives here, but important to the state. So if you have someone that you'd like to recommend, feel free to do so. And Greg would be happy to take that recommendation. Okay. Mr. Geddes.
Okay. The dispatch did meet this last week. It's meeting this before the next meeting, so I'll have a report on that. And then the Parks Trail Beautification Committee met. I was not able to attend, but I asked Chandler if he would report on that.
Yeah. We set dates for the upcoming events. We discussed the service days, the Cedar Hill Service Day, and discussed various options for what the committee should be doing for that day of service. Last year they did clean up at 5 residents' homes, and they solicited volunteers from the local wards. They're going to go in a different direction this year. They're actually looking for some city property to look to clean up and to beautify. So right now the discussion is between the south entrance of Cedar Hills, where that new sign was put in, and also helping to clean up the trail area through the golf course. That was the major report in the discussion during that committee meeting.
Okay. Anything else, Mr. Geddes?
No.
And thank you for getting an alternate. I appreciate that. Mr. Crawley.
I have nothing to say.
Okay. Mr. Augustus.
General Plan Committee met. We actually had a pretty good discussion about how to proceed forward and getting some better ideas and directions on what the General Plan Committee should be doing. And we talked about using something like SurveyMonkey or another site that can go through and tabulate responses and do a survey for us. And so we're going to be looking at that and seeing what our options are and putting together some questions and some ideas that we could send out to interested parties in the community, and then go through a couple of steps to the point probably where we would actually send it out to the entire city and see what their recommendations are and kind of see what the results are for what they believe should go into the general plan and kind of the overall direction for the city. And this wouldn't get to the level of detail of the decision survey. This is a very high level, very cheap and easy survey.
Okay. So would it be helpful to you if Daniel came in talk to you guys about. Obviously, he's up to speed on survey.
And well, I was going to mention that if I have a BYU student involved, I may be able to get you a free survey through BYU.
Would that be helpful to you guys?
Yeah, we can talk about that.
So maybe you guys get together and figure something out. Yeah. Okay? Very good. Let's move on now to scheduled items. And so item number 7 is an action item on the final landscaping plan for Bridgestone Plat C. Mr. Mogg.
Yes, Mayor, Council members. Perry Holmes, the developer of Plat C at Bridgestone, has submitted a revised landscaping plan, and they're requesting that we approve the changes on those plans. Currently, they have completed the majority of the landscaping, and they put in all of the requested materials, including the replacement of the apple trees that were removed. They've replaced those with some evergreen trees, and have added additional landscaping above and beyond what was submitted on the plan. However, one of the items that was on the plan is a stormwater retention basin. And this basin had a calculated volume that was needed, and as they completed or was nearing completion of that basin, it was realized that there was a inlet drain that had a lower elevation than their calculated rim level of the basin. So they've redesigned that basin, and essentially, as you can see on the submitted plan, put a dike between two sections, the old original basin and the new basin. And this will raise the elevation and also increase the capacity to meet the needs of the new development. It meets the requirements for the stormwater. However, as it's designed, and they've actually got this installed right now, and the photos that was submitted illustrates some of the erosion that has taken place due to the steepness of the slopes of the dike. Our city ordinance only permits a 2-to-1 maximum slope. This exceeds that significantly. Therefore, staff has reviewed it and has recommended that council accept the new plan and the new design with the condition that they retain that slope, provide a method to keep that slope from failing. Part of it is due to the landscaping. They wanted to originally put sod on the original plan. However, it's too steep to be practical to mow. And then we do have some concerns with the strength of the dike. If it was to fill the capacity, we wouldn't want it to rim over and then wash the dike away and create a surge of water. So that's our recommendation. Is there any questions?
I actually looked at that. They kind of have a block wall as part of that as well. Are they going to have to like extend that block wall to get a steeper?
The block wall is on the north side of the basin, right. And we're talking about the south side and the dike that separates the two portions of the basin. That's an option. I think it would be left up to the contractor.
What are they going to do? What are they saying? Just they're going to flatten it out? Will that decrease the volume of the basin?
If they flatten it out, it would decrease the volume. So it's going to have to be some type of a structural or a method of solidifying that slope so that it doesn't fail in the future. This is two part in that it's a private retention basin. It'll be managed by a homeowners association. However, the city has responsibility to monitor that and make sure that it's maintained in the future as a stormwater structure.
You also mentioned that they wanted to change the landscaping there. So the pictures that I'm seeing now have a steep slope, and there is grass on most of that slope. Are they going to tear that grass out and put in something different? Or?
Yes, I believe that. And I talked with one of their representatives this morning as we did an inspection there. And it's possible that they could put in a small retaining area, wall or structure, and then change the slope slightly to meet the requirements. However, there are erosion control products on the market now that permit their plastic or nylon type or masonry that can be embedded in the slope, yeah. And then the plants can grow through those. That could be an option also.
Those work pretty good, actually.
So we would probably, we would need to just discuss this with the contractor and find out what they're proposing, and if it's acceptable to meet our codes, then that's the direction we would go.
So if we're to make a motion, do we want to just wait until they come back and tell us exactly which method they're going to use, or do we need to make a motion first to say, you got to find a method? We don't know what that's going to be, but you got to find a method.
I would request that the motion's made that there is the condition that slope needs to be retained structurally with an approved method. And then it would probably go to staff, and we would evaluate it and approve that.
And that's listed in the recommendation, yeah?
Yeah.
Any other questions from the right side of the table?
No, I think they've been covered.
Okay. If someone's ready to make a motion, then I will take it.
I'll make a motion. I move that we approve the revised landscape plan for Bridgestone Plat C with the condition that the developer provides structural retaining for that slope with a method approved by staff.
Okay. I have a motion. Is there a second?
I'll second.
I think Mr. Augustus was first. So motion's been seconded. Any further discussion?
Second.
Yeah. You guys want to fight over it?
I said no, he was second.
Oh, he was second. Thank you. Pun intended.
No pun, yes.
And so motion's been seconded. No, and no further discussion. Let's have a vote. Mr. Zappala.
Aye.
Mrs. Reese.
Aye.
Mr. Geddes.
Aye.
Mr. Crawley.
Aye.
Mr. Augustus.
Aye.
The motion was unanimous. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's move on now to our FY16 budget presentation. And Mr. Lowe, why don't you take the mic and computer and let it go.
Okay. We went through the general fund and wages and benefits during the work session. We can review some of that, but I'll start with the water and sewer fund right now. Right now, our revenues for the water and sewer fund are based on a utility study that was performed in March 2012.
Go ahead.
And this study was based on the philosophy as covering cash basis instead of debt financing for future capital projects and growth that's needed or repairs. So Bowen and Collins analyzed based on the outstanding projects that we had and the tentative timeline and came up with a funding rates that we could average instead of having larger rates once in a while to kind of smooth it out. Now, we've had a couple of changes since that study. We've been able to refund a couple of utility revenue bonds. With the first utility revenue bond, we decided to put any money that we were saving towards principal, so that's 2009. With the interest rate savings we got. Now that's optional, there's no requirement, but the council at that time decided they wanted to use that money to pay down the debt faster. The other one was this last fall we did another utility revenue bond, and that is approximately $29,000 in savings each year. So on the schedule that Bowen and Collins produced, they had two projects that were scheduled for the upcoming year, one for storm drain, one for sewer. We tentatively delayed those, and there was some discussion at our budget workshop about getting another utility rate update based on some of the earlier expenses than we anticipated for pump replacement and wells, well improvements. And so And there's also been some discussion on meters for secondary water. If there was a way to minimize how much debt that we would be required for meters on secondary water, we would definitely want to try to postpone as many of these projects as possible to fund that without debt. But that is very fluid, and that is just in the discussion. But I noticed it was mentioned in the March newsletter as something we could do this fall, so I wanted to bring that up. Can you go to the next slide? So this is a list of the projects that were on the original plan. David and I are meeting with Bowen and Collins next week, and we're going to try to go through a little update of what some of the things that have changed and see how much a lot of it probably doesn't need to change, but there is a couple things that we'll need to update, especially if we want to incorporate secondary meters or show that as an option and show what are the offsetting savings for that. So you can go to the next. So this is the overall of all the utility rates. It breaks down debt service, operations, maintenance, and capital expenditures. The purple is the capital projects. And so when those happen, you see more money going out than coming in based on the rates, generally speaking. Operations not only includes labor, staffing, but also includes like payments to Timpanogos Special Service District. And any maintenance repairs we do on meters and pressurized irrigation. Okay, next. I put this in here. It's our debt service coverage. All our utility revenue bonds have a debt service coverage minimum. And right now we are about 1.49, and the minimum is 1.25. If our revenues stayed flat for 2 years, projected, we would go under the 1.25. So that's something that Bowen Collins also took into account. Okay, next slide. Thought this would be interesting to see how volatile our TSSD monthly expenses are. They really don't trend at all. And so 2009, they're significantly lower, and I think that's probably right before they had the expansion. And then they're kind of consistent for a while, but this last year we knew the rates would go up 14%. And you can see in October a little bit of a jet up, which was expected, but we didn't expect another climb. If you go to the next slide, you can see the gallons used by our city, and you can see how much we were charged. Our lowest month happened to be January, but our highest bill was in January, our lowest amount of water used. So this is kind of a disturbing trend. And so David's going to follow up with TSSD and make sure that we're getting our fair charge on this. But it makes it a little difficult to budget when at one point in July we were at one of our lowest averages in the history of Cedar Hills, and then all of a sudden we're at one of the highest averages in January. So it's been very volatile in how they measure this. This is a comparison. I did this last year, but it just shows you a breakdown of neighboring cities and what their utility rates are. And then the lower half shows Bowen and Collins' proposed rates, and and then our budget proposed rates, and everything's in line. We delayed doing sewer increase last year because our TSSD charges were so low, we could afford to do that. And so that I highlighted that number. That's the only number different from the study so far. And that's just a one-year delay on that. You can come back just a second. Some cities like Draper have three zones. So if you get a chance to look at that a little bit closer, I put their middle zone pricing. Their third zone is probably the most expensive. Water, it would be a little bit more than, it'd be more competitive with American Fork maybe. And that's probably the Suncrest area, I'm guessing, is their zone three. So they have, they do split up their city into three different areas and charge them different water rates depending on what part of the city they're in. I thought that was kind of interesting. Also on the bottom, we had some discussion on adding green waste. So while I was researching these rates, I noticed a couple cities that do green waste and what they were charging. So if you want to look at Lehigh and Harriman, what they charge now, they charged it throughout the year, just like our PI, even though it just gets used for part of the year. So something to keep in mind.
I get it. Could waste management handle green waste?
Well, we need to talk to them about that, but yeah. It is an option, and it may have to be subsidized. It may cost us more than they have to take it somewhere. They don't have a good spot to take that. They're basically landfilling that. So and the land, the landfill has a great
to the green. They can't take it to the green waste.
So there's the TSSD green waste, and that's where residents can take our green waste for free.
Right.
But then there's also down at the North Point Solid Waste District. They also have a green waste, but there is a charge, and we have to truck it. We have to pick it up in the city limits and then haul it down there. So that would be the analysis that they would perform, is tipping fees plus the haul and what that's going to cost us.
And what happens when companies like TSSD say, we're not taking any more green waste right now? Because that happened this year.
Yeah, it happened for about 2 months down at the district. And so a lot of people just held off taking their green waste anywhere for a little while. Or they can go ahead and take it to North Point Solid Waste and pay a tipping fee to get rid of that. It's a reduced rate. It's not the same as construction debris. But there is the option to take it down there. The issue is it wasn't free. So.
Yeah, Harriman was about $114 a year for that. So that might give you a general idea. So here are some highlights and expense and where we're focusing our money. The water and sewer charges, we had to charge our own city for parks and the golf course. There's a transfer out to repay those funds that are having to pay to the water and sewer fund. It's just a wash. So that represents $39,500 in transfers out. There's based on the Bowen and Collins rates, recommended rates, it would be a $34,000 in water, no increase in PI, $16,900 storm drain fees, and $54,000 sewer funds. And of course, this is subject to change if we get an update this spring and we want to incorporate the update. Or if we want to move one plan ahead, that's going to change if we have that plan incorporated. Increase of $49,000 for Timpanogos Special. If we start averaging $50,000 a month for TSSD, then $49,000 would be sufficient. If the number got higher than that, then that wouldn't cover it. We have planned meter repairs and PI repairs, $42,000, and we're actually reducing benefit costs by $7,000 because of the employee that experienced employee that left. And I talked about the debt service coverage earlier. Next. And in summary, local economy has been good. I mean, we're always worried that, you know, something's going to drop out of the bottom and crash or something. But right now, I know the states talked about they're projecting things still to be positive. And our fund balances are healthy, and all our funds are in balance. There's always projects we'd like to do that we can't necessarily all fund at once, but we've tried to allocate money to some projects as we think you've mentioned and you've told us your priorities. And we can, this is just a preliminary budget, so we can continue to take feedback till June on any new ideas you have.
Till May when we approve our budget, our preliminary budget would be a good time to get it nailed down.
Right. So would any of you like to review any of the general fund I went over earlier, or is this sufficient tonight? It's up to you. I can go over any earlier parts if you would like. There is a separate copy, line by line, of all the changes, so we can look at that if you would like. Is there any feedback that you'd like to provide at this time?
Okay. Any questions from council?
No, as I say, you answered all my questions in work session. Thank you.
Okay. So I think that Jenny, Rob, and I owe you an apology for missing the last finance committee. Yep. And so we will be there for the next one. So all of us got our schedules mixed up. So sorry about that.
Okay.
I was not staycationing.
That's all right. I found out. Yeah, that's not fun. I understand. Okay. Well, our next council meeting will discuss the golf fund and the golf debt service fund.
Very good. Thank you very much, Cheryl. Appreciate you staying late and coming in and talking to us about the budget items. So let's move on now to item number 8, which is discussion on alternates for various boards committees. This is really important, and I really appreciate Mr. Geddes finding a substitute, because I think there's instances that have gone where we didn't have representatives at meetings and we need to have those. So we've tried to come up with a plan where relevant, we have alternates. So Mr. Bunker, go ahead.
Mayor and Council, in your packet then is a list of the various boards and committees that most likely would require an alternate. And this list is, it shows who the appointed member of the council or staff is to the various boards or committees, and the proposed alternate if there is one. And it is up to the appointed member to reach out and contact the alternate if they can't make their committee or board time. And so in this list, if you've all got that in front of you, if you could look and see the boards that you sit on and identify the alternate that would assist you to make sure that someone is represented to that board and committee. Several of these boards and committees require appointment in order to vote. So, for instance, I sit on the TSSD, the sewer board. My alternate for that sewer board, according to this schedule, would be Mr. Goodwin. He would not be able to vote when he goes to the meeting. However, he could get all the information, get the board packet, and bring that back. And that's the important thing, is that we get the communications back to the city from these various boards. And so there are several boards that are going to be like that throughout the list. Is there any questions on who's on what committee and what who is the backup?
So how are the alternates decided?
I sat down with the mayor and we went through and just looked to see who would be either available or most likely to back up the board member. So a lot like in the case of North Utah Valley Animal Shelter, Mr. Goodwin's on that board. I backed him up, then he backed me up on the other board for TSSD. So it was just a discussion along those lines. If you see a conflict, if there's an issue there, let me know.
Well, I just noticed that I wasn't selected for any alternate position, which I was a little disappointed in.
Okay. Is there one that you would like to be an alternate on? Do you have a preference?
Well, I've said in the past that my primary interest when I ran for council was for Building Economic Development Planning Commission and Public Safety. So those are where my interests lie.
Okay. The mayor can consider that. We can revise it.
Regarding public safety, then the bylaws don't allow for any exchanges except when someone is no longer a elected official. So that's not an option. I believe you have served on the Planning Commission. I believe you have served and currently serve in Economic Development.
Right. I'm talking about alternates, not replacing council members, but as an alternate.
And so
I'd be happy to give up the Planning Commission alternate. I'm on a couple other alternates to Councilman Augustus, if the mayor would.
Do you want to take Planning Commission alternate?
Yeah.
Okay. Very good.
Okay, we can make that change and send this out again. Any other concerns? Okay. Thank you.
Okay. I do have one item to go over with, and so I want you to bear with me for one moment. Chief Freeman is sending me an email that I'd like to read to you guys. Chief, it's not here. Do you mind if I borrow your phone?
This is exactly what I argued before.
So, obviously, we appreciate all that our fire and EMS guys do, and our ladies too. And so about a month or so ago, there was a gentleman that had a heart attack on the mountain and was life-flighted out from the mountain. And he was very appreciative, and he wrote a letter to the Lone Peak Fire and Rescue Team, and so I read this during our public safety meeting. I'd like to read it to you guys and have it read into the record as well, just so you guys know how people feel when they're rescued like this gentleman was, and how important of a job our fire and rescue guys do, police as well. And so we should read more of these more often, because our taxpayer money goes to public safety items, fire and police, and things like this are important. So it says, Lone Peak Fire and Rescue, it's hard for me to even begin to express my appreciation for the work you do. While I have always had great respect for your profession, I have a newfound personal perspective. The afternoon of January 17, 2015 started out for me and my son as just a good workout, but it ended up in a real fight for my life. Had your team not been prepared and able to respond so quickly, I'm not sure the outcome would have turned out so well for me. I obviously don't remember all of what happened, but I know when I finally became conscious, I had a bunch of angels dressed in black Lone Peak uniforms surrounding me. It seemed like a beehive of well-timed professional care, and you all seemed to know exactly what to do to help me. Perhaps the most impressive thing I remember is when the second helicopter started to hover over me. You all leaned in to protect me from flying debris. It was obvious you were more concerned for me than for your own personal safety. As I looked up, I could see the chopper blades were only a few feet from the cliff we were under, and I could see if he made a mistake, we would all have been in serious trouble. Yet you all remained constant in focusing on me and my needs. I have a firm belief that my son's blessing in put in motion a sequence of miracles that afternoon, but the miracle of your help was critical to my survival. Somehow a simple thanks seems insufficient, but I guess it's all I can say. Every time I see a Lone Peak vehicle go by, I will express a prayer for your safety and another of thanks for who you are and what you do. You guys are the best. Thanks again, Rick Ellison. And so that's an example of some of the great work that our fire guys do. And I imagine the chief's got, and Lieutenant Lydiard's got many examples of police as well. So we welcome those. We'd like to read those whenever we can get those. Thank you so much. So last item is a discussion on suicide prevention. And so there was a meeting last Friday night at Lone Peak High School on this. I know most of us were there. And so Mrs. Reese wanted to have a discussion about this. It's relevant, it's timely, so I think this is a good idea. So, Mrs. Reese, you want to start?
Sure. I think we were all there. Well, there's a couple of us that were not. So it was a great meeting. I thought it was very informative. And my purpose of having that discussion come up is a few years ago we were approached by Communities That Care that had wanted to get Alpine and Cedar Hill and Highland really working together on this coordinated effort, and it didn't really go anywhere. And so this organization that presented on Friday night was Hope for Life, and they do this all over the state. And then a subgroup of that called Lone Peak Community for Hope has been created that's working specifically in our area. And so one of the things that they brought up was that there are things that are needed at the high school and maybe even the junior high school, but for sure the high school right now, that it can't all be on Principal Bromley's shoulders and all on Alpine School District's shoulders to figure out. And so I would like our communities to start meeting now, especially as we're in the budget season, to figure out what can we as these three communities do to help with this effort. I love that our YCC wants to get involved and be a part of that. I think that the youth have more influence on each other than we as adults do. But I think it would also be good. I stayed afterwards for a little bit, and I talked to one of the psychologists that was there from BYU, and Wasatch Mental Health was there. And one of the things they said was a lot of times something like this happens, and then everybody wants to get involved, but then everyone's kind of recreating their own wheels and going in 100 different directions, where Hope for Life already has put together this program that they're implementing in Salt Lake, and I think they were in Gunnison recently, and they have partnerships with Wasatch Mental Health and with BYU. And so instead of each community trying to do their own thing and reinventing the wheel, that we can work together with this Hope for Life organization to get these students what they need. And I know Principal Romley is really excited to do that as well, because she can't, like I said, this can't all be on her shoulders. And so I don't know if we can authorize Mayor Yee or David or somebody to start having these conversations, maybe with Alpine and Highland, to say, as the communities that feed into Lone Peak, we need to start working with Hope for Life to get they talked about having cottage meetings. You guys know this. They talked about having cottage meetings, where these meetings are held in homes with fewer people, because then people tend to open up more. So one with adults, one with students, and that you have like 10 or 15 of these, and they have the resources where they'll send Wasatch Mental Health in and to do these discussions. And so I think it would be great if our three communities can start talking about that and figuring out. Hope for Life has told us this is what we should be doing. How are we going to do it?
Jenny, question.
Yes.
I remember hearing that Provo School District implemented a suicide prevention plan and had great success with it. No suicides for 9 years running or something like that.
Correct.
How does this relate to that? Is it the same plan?
It's the exact same organization. So Hope for Life was, this is Dr. Goodnall that was part of that one in Provo as well. He said it took about 4 years to really change that culture and the mentality, but after they were able to do that, yeah, they went 9 years without a suicide. So it is the exact same organization.
And did Provo School District, did they have to allocate funding for that program?
Well, not the program itself, but what some of the things that they're doing, for instance, what he recommended was Lone Peak High School needs a mental health counselor. They don't have one on staff. And so he said, you need to have a mental health counselor that's there at the school, but if you just say Alpine School District, you figure out how it's going to get paid for. That's a lot for them. And if you tell Principal Romley, you figure out how it's going to get paid for, it's a lot for them as well. So what he was saying is some of these communities, Provo being one of them,
it was a combined effort with the school district and the community and even parents. And then they basically they outsourced that to Wasatch Mental Health. So the counselor at the school is an employee of Wasatch Mental Health. So the school district isn't paying for their benefits and all that stuff. It's all, and so they just pay a flat fee to Wasatch Mental Health every year for that counselor. But it was a combined effort amongst all of those groups, not just one.
So has anybody talked to Mike Kennedy about whether the Utah legislature might be interested in funding that for every high school in Alpine School District, so it's not just Lone Peak?
I believe that's one of the goals of this Lone Peak Community for Hope. That's what they want to do, is they want to start getting the reaching out to the legislature. They just barely started a few months ago underneath this Hope for Utah or Hope for Life. So that's their vision, is to start getting more people involved.
I wouldn't forget Senator Jackson. He represents us all also, yes. And he's very helpful.
And I was
very
forgetting
helpful.
His name for the moment. That's why.
Yes.
So I'm perfectly comfortable with the mayor having that role and reaching out to Hope for Life and saying, what can we do, and learn what our options might be as a community.
I do meet with the mayors regularly, and so if the council wants me to, I'm happy to do that.
I just think instead of having Alpine try something and Cedar Hills try something and Highland something, I think that this Lone Peak Community for Hope is saying our three communities together need to figure this out, because we all feed into Lone Peak. So it's not an Alpine issue and it's not a Highland issue and it's not a Cedar Hills issue. Let's work together instead of each trying to go our own directions. And
yeah, so in my mind, that's a perfect role for the mayor to play.
Okay. Those were my thoughts. I don't know. You guys were there. If you have any additional.
I don't know if the cities allocate any. I don't know. Highland or. Well, we don't know because no one's ever.
We haven't had the discussion.
Anything. We've never had this. I mean, maybe there is some point in the future where we need to allocate some funds to make this happen.
They did say what they think it's going to cost, which was $75,000 a year. So if you have three cities, that's $25,000 a city. That now maybe that's not all public money.
Yeah, and it could be district money too.
But I was gonna say, I don't think it can all be on the cities. I think the districts have to help, and I think the parents have to help.
Yeah,
and
everyone's got to help.
That's why I'm saying I think it would be good if our cities at least started talking and saying, are we even willing to pony up some money, and if so, how much, and what do we, how, what do, as our role as government, what can we do to help Lone Peak Community for Hope get this program implemented in our schools?
So I would think that we figure out what the game plan is for all three cities, and at that point we take it to the cities if the recommendation is to use public funds, and if some of it is to be privately raised, we talk about that. So first thing that we've got to do is figure out what it looks like, and then once you know what it looks like, then start talking about it more in city council meetings.
So are you going to talk to other mayors about their thoughts on that?
If the council wants me to, I'm happy to.
I think that would be good.
Good. So I've got three representatives that say they want me to. Mr. Crawley, is that right?
Yeah, I do too. There's some other thoughts are, I do like the idea of having this person independent of the high school. I think that's a good idea. But we also ought to think about other schools also. I mean, would this person also serve as a junior highs in the area? What about are there charter high schools that are in our area too that this person would spend some time at? You know, is this someone that would rotate around to the different schools, or would we have to have one for each school, which would be a lot more money? But you know, if we get a lot of support from other groups, it would be shared. So, just I think we ought to think about not just Lone Peak, because that's our focus right now because of what's happened. But I think that every school in the area probably is just as much at risk. So
I that's obviously an option as well. So Mr. Gustis, are you okay with that as well?
That's fine.
Okay, then I will take a motion then to adjourn our meeting.
Oh,
Chief,
we started a program in all the schools for suicide prevention. The fire department has, if you go on our website, lonepeakfire.com, go in community support, and if you hit my budget, go down and it'll explain the program on suicide prevention, because we're seeing it's starting now about 12 years old. We're seeing a lot of kids trying to kill themselves, junior high and sixth grade. So that's where we're starting it there. And then if you go on our website and hit news, it'll go in all that meeting on the a newscast on that whole meeting and what it was about and stuff. So just for your information.
Can you repeat? I'm on the website. I'm just trying to find where you said to find out more about it. The first place you said?
There's two things. One is the meeting they had the other night. You can watch it and document it. That's under news up the top.
Okay.
And then if you go on community support down on those tabs, the blue tabs on the side, mm-hmm. hit community support, then hit my budget. The 2015-16 budget presentation, and scroll down to the school program. It's down about halfway down, then you can read about it and so forth.
Thank you.
So
okay. That was one of the things that they said that night was it's younger and younger kids, and they had the shocking number that the youngest that they've dealt with, 5 years old.
Oh, I know.
That's horrible.
That's what we come up with this program. So we're in Cedar Hills right now, and there's schools doing it. It's a 4-week course.
Great.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you very much. I'm sure that when meetings take place, we'll have fire and police there as well to help us guide us. So thank you very much. I'll go back to a motion to adjourn.
I move we adjourn.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion's been seconded. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? We're adjourned. Thank you very much.
Before everyone leaves, could you take a moment and sign this plat if you haven't?